Northwest, the legend of Bigfoot dates back hundreds of years.
This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
He became the first cabinet-level politician from a G8 country to publicly state that there is extraterrestrial life present on Earth.
Strange Harbor, online at strangeharbor.net.
They say everything that we know, everything that we are, everything that we have comes from the people living on Nibiru.
Strange Harbor, be strange.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unabashed, and the uninitiated.
And the unambitious, too, right?
And the unambitious. I'm too unambitious to look up some words.
I know, we've been locked down. And yes. You know, you get locked in your house, you can't do much. But Johnny and Billy here, and we talk strange topics, different or unique, whatever word you want to describe what we do. Cryptozoology, we do ghosts, conspiracies, near-death experiences, all sorts of fun stuff. And our guest today, local Seattle and international psychic healer reader, Kelly Kelleher.
Hello.
A psychic healer and reader. We haven't actually had that many psychics on because it's hard to get good, credible psychics to agree to come on the show.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Can you explain what you do and maybe kind of your mantra, your beliefs?
So I walk in the path of unconditional love. And since I was a little girl, I've always experienced different kinds of energies and, if you want to say entities, but more like angels and beings and spirits that were all of love and light and really comforted me in a very abusive childhood. So they were my go-to and my protectors. And they've been with me my whole life. And I think we all come into this earth with our guardians and our guides and our angels to help us. It's just a matter of how close we can get to them and how open we are to receiving from them and learning from them. And they've guided me all along. As far as the psychics, it's just been, we all have this gift. It's not something that's unique to just one. We all have the gifts of clarity, I would say, and empathic, being able to sense other people's pain or joy, or to feel for others, to have compassion for one another. It's just a matter of how close you are connected to that and how much you're willing to work on that. And that's kind of where I'm at. It's just been my way my whole life. It's just who I am. I don't know how else to explain it in that way. And as far as psychic, it's just whatever comes through for someone else, because it's always in love and light. So then it's not really me. It's just I'm kind of a conduit, but we all have this ability. I'm sure you've all had friends who were suffering at one point or another and needed a shoulder to cry on and talk to. It's that same energy, but it's more emphasized, and I'm able to do it with more people. And one day it would be nice to be able to do it more on a grand scale, where other people would learn to trust their own instincts and be able to do that, and then we raise the consciousness of the universe. So that's my for the future.
How old were you when you first discovered you said ever since you were young, like how old when you went, hey, I can do this?
It was really around 7 years old when one of my mom's friends had asked me, this is really silly, but I didn't know. I was very young. And she just said, out of the blue, so I don't know how I looked to the adults at 7 years old, but she asked me if I could see if her husband ever kissed another woman. And I didn't understand what that was, so whatever came through, and I told her yes. And later on, I found out they had gotten divorced, and she had blamed me for that.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I was 7 years old, for goodness sake. You know, it's that kind of a thing. So I began to learn to kind of be careful, and my grandmother helped me a lot with this. Be careful what you share with people, and don't let people use you to find out more information when you get really tired afterwards, you know something's not right. So little by little, I began to learn that, and have carried that with me. I'm still learning. It's an ongoing thing. But it's a matter of being able to help other people, but not at the point of being drained and exhausted.
Like giving lotto numbers and things like that?
Yeah. Like, you know, it's really interesting. Like, I've read about Edgar Cayce, who, when he would go under, I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I think he totally let go of himself and let whatever came through channel through. But in the beginning, when he started out, he would wake up and get extremely exhausted. And then they found out in a recording that people would ask him, what's the Super Bowl or what, you know, football games or something like that to bet on, or the best stocks and things like that. Mm-hmm. And he was so open at that time. He just completely opened like a child and expressed whatever the question was. And then he would wake up and be very sick for days. And so after that, there was always somebody in the room with him to make sure that that's not, because that's not what it's about. It's not about to gain something material. It's about gaining, to have inspiration and to gain our own, each other's personal joy, and to try to become better. I mean, that's the key, right? And to make a difference in the world.
Right. And you're the conduit.
Yes. If you want to know the numbers to the lottery and that kind of thing, you can ask your own guides and you can follow whatever calls to you, because if you're meant to, you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to run to a psychic and pay $1 million and then still not get it and, you know, that kind of stuff. That's not what it's about. At least that's my opinion.
Probably can't give you those numbers anyway, or we'd have a lot of very wealthy psychics out there.
There you go. That's it exactly. You just never know, right? And it's a hit or miss kind of thing, but that's not what it's about. These are gifts of to help each other and help humanity and for us to become more awakened and to help make a difference, because that's why we came here. I mean, it would be wonderful to win the lottery, and I'm not complaining, and I'm open for that. But and I have a lot of people to help when that does, and if that does happen. But it's more the joy of really when you see someone who's very down and very confused and very sad, and all they need is that little extra energy that comes through, something that's sacred and special for them. And then you see that inspiration and you see that sadness leave. There is nothing more beautiful than that. That is the greatest gift I've ever known. And that's what I say as a psychic, not what we see on TV and things like that, but
right.
Where somebody really just needs to be released from some kind of energy that's holding them back from fulfilling their dream, or from really finding out, or at least not, like, I can't give them everything because I don't know it all. All I know is that I can maybe give them a little bit that would lead them in the right direction for them to attain their highest good. That's kind of what it is.
Okay.
Someone who's kind of on the bridge and just says, okay, I can maybe assist.
What are haunted healings?
So that's a group that I created about, oh my goodness, maybe 30 years ago. And it is it started out as an old Celtic way, a traditional way through the family, that was a way of dealing with spirits and energies, and whether negative or positive, but especially if there was something negative or not understood. And what it is we come together. I have a whole huge group, and it's worldwide groups as well now at this point, where if a spirit is crying out for help, and the family or the people on the land, in the energies need help, we go there and help make a difference. And it's all about, again, walking in that pure unconditional love, because love is the highest power of all. And when you walk in that love, there's nothing that can come against you. It will try, but 9 times out of 10, it goes. It releases. It's a way of dealing, not like what you see on TV where they try to antagonize the spirit or something and say, oh, you did this, come get me. And or they'll go like, where are you? And it's right behind them, but they're yelling at the wall or something else. And there's actually a spirit right behind them, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about antagonizing. It's about walking in an energy that is with pure unconditional love to make a difference and to heal the situation, especially if it's the land or layers of energies. Because we're all spirits and we're in a physical form experiencing the universe. But at the same time, we are in this physical form and we have a right to be here and we have a right to be safe. We have a right to have love and light around us. And if there's something that's harming somebody, we are there to try to help make a difference and clear it to the best of our ability. And so far, it's been working pretty well. And there's no fee or anything. This is out of love. It's nothing like what I have noticed with a lot of groups that are out there to make, either to become super famous or, you know, to make $1 million. I have nothing to say on that. That's their path. But what we do in Haunted Healings is just walk in that pure unconditional love to make a difference.
When you talk about unconditional love, what do you mean by that?
Can I give you an example of one of my, it's like the biggest, one of the biggest actual events that happened, and it can explain it in a much deeper detail. And this is the first one that's in the book of Haunted Healings. It's the first story. And if that's okay, I'll share it with you. And then
sure.
That will, one night, this was probably about 10 years ago, I received a call from a woman who was in Snohomish County. And she was in dire need of help. She said the water was going. As I picked up the phone, I could hear noise in the background and the kids crying. So I got the group together and we went up to her cabin, and come to find out that for a while they had what they thought was a little girl coming around, and it was like kind of fun, and the kids would see her, and just to them it was just kind of like, the mother was very open to the metaphysical world and very much awakened, but didn't quite see what the children saw, and to them it was just a playmate. But after a while, the little girl kept saying she wants to see her sister. She needs to go home, but she wants to see her sister. And this took like maybe over a year of energy building up and building up, to the point where when she called me, it was really getting bad. And this is not a typical story, but usually it's something very enough that we all come together and we heal the place, and it's clear and the energy is very good. This was one that, they could make a movie out of it. It was really interesting because we drove up there and the kids came running out with the mom, and they got in the van, and we were talking with them before we went in, and she was saying how the water's going on and off, and you could see if you looked up that the curtains were moving as if the wind was blowing inside. And this was like, gosh, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, and there was no wind. It was the middle of winter. It was very, very cold. And we talked with them for a while, got them comforted, and then we got the group together, and then we set up a circle of love and light and entered into it. And as we got into it, you could see that there were books that had been falling down onto the floor. Every few minutes, there were different things that were moving, papers, little cars on the floor, a little doll fell off the rocking chair. But what was really weird is the water kept going on and off. The curtains kept blowing. So I sat down and I called my grandma in spirit and I asked for help because I could not understand what was going on. And not that I can always see, but usually I can get a really good view of it. I could not. And finally I got it. And it was this little girl. Her name was Sarah. And back maybe about 80 to 100 years prior, her and her family had been in this kind of little wagon, and they had put this wooden slate on the back of the wagon so the little girls wouldn't fall out. They were twins, and it was Rachel and Sarah. And the mom, we found out later on, had actually also been a twin. So back then, for twins to survive at all was a really big deal. There were no hospitals. There were midwives and maybe once in a while a country doctor, but it was a very big deal for twins to live. So that in itself was enough energy. But as they're in this cart and they're covered and they're getting warm and they're taking all the apples in the harvest, and it's a big event to go to the town and to sell your goods. And they have, you know, that was their gossip time because there was no real radio or TV or anything. So this was a big event where they'd have a parade and they would have a dance, and it was a big, big deal. And everybody's going and they're excited, and something happened that startled the horse, and it jumped up and the wagon fell back, and both girls broke their necks, and Rachel died immediately, but Sarah did not. So whenever a tragedy like that happens, there's a lot of energy with the villages and the people around, and there was so much sadness knowing that one daughter had died and then Sarah was about to. It took about a week for her to die. Later on, we found out all this information. We studied and found we went back and did the history. And so, but we didn't know at this point because this was new. This was just out of the blue. And poor Sarah and her in this sadness of everybody crying and the mother crying and these were twins and all that was going on. Sarah really could see the light, but in and I say see the light meaning she could go home, but she for some reason held on to that sorrow and sadness, and she didn't understand that she that her sister had already crossed over. So in her mind and in the spirit world, I mean, here we have linear time, but in the spirit world, it's totally different. I mean, that's why some people can see 1,000 years behind and 1,000 years ahead, because it's, again, like, I don't know what you say. It's omnipresent. It is eternal. I guess that would be the best way. Time is eternal. There is no time beyond Earth, as far as I know, to the best of my ability. So Sarah was so sad and holding on that all she wanted to do was say goodbye to her sister and then she'd go home. And she understood in her energy, she understood that that's where she's supposed to go. So we set up circle and we had stage and salt and you can imagine we had everything out there. And she didn't know me. She didn't understand me. She could see a little bit of my light, but she didn't trust me. So in the middle of trying to talk with her and in the middle of trying to explain to her, her mom and her sister, her family's in the light. In the meantime, books again would go flying. And again, like I say, this is not a normal situation. This doesn't happen all the time. But this was my one big situation that really showed me how important love is, how strong it can be. And so I finally, this went on for more than an hour and a half, and I just cried out to my grandmother, show me, please show me what's going on. How can I make her see that her mother, her father, her sister, everyone's in the light? And my grandma showed me this great big chubby orange kitty cat, and she said, her name is Pumpkin. Tell her Pumpkin. And I said, Sarah, your kitty cat, Pumpkin. And before I could finish, is in the light. She crossed over. In midair, a book slammed right down in front of me on the floor. And she actually crossed. You could feel all the entire room like totally changed. It was everything stopped. The wind stopped blowing by the curtains. The water completely stopped. It had already been overflowing, but it stopped. There was nothing else in there, like just complete silence for a moment. And then this most beautiful, magnificent smell of roses. That changed everything. And we just knew, all of us, we knew that we knew that we knew she had gone home. All we needed to know was something that she could trust me so she could go to that light to know that her sister was there. Because to her, this just happened. This wasn't 100 years later. This just happened. And she had been stained by all that sadness and that sorrow, that kind of, not that it was holding her down, but it was familiar to her because she was sad and sorrowed that she couldn't see her sister. So if that explains a little bit more about the love and light, that's exactly what it is. That's where she actually went home, and in midair, the book went slamming down and she was gone. And they have never, it's been almost 10 years. They've not had a problem ever since. Kids are in college. They're doing great. And it's just been magnificent. And just to even be for a moment a part of that truly changed my life.
Wow.
That's a great story.
And like I said, that's not a normal thing. Usually, like recently, we had some stables that were having some problems, and we went in there and found out there were just layers of energy, and there had been somebody who had come for a brief period for like 3 months to this stable, and they were very psychotic, like had a lot of emotional problems, and the energy that that person was under stayed in the barn. So we were able to clear that and cleanse that. And that's normal. What it is, you just walk with your own angels and guardians. You walk in pure unconditional love because there is no greater power. It's kind of like if you look in a newborn baby's eyes, that's pure unconditional love. That's divinity right there. We come from that and we return to that. So it's walking in that, the truest, purest form you can possibly be. And you're walking with the understanding that at this moment, wherever we're going to heal a place, that we are doing this for the benefit of everyone involved, including spirit, tree, grass, air, earth, air, fire, water, spirit, every element, every energy that is there. And really, most of the time when you walk in that energy, it's very beautiful. And the healing is very easy, very calm. And spirits cross over or energies change, they release, or if you give offerings, like, it depends on the energies around there, but if it's Native American, we put lots of tobacco. If it's something to do with the elementals, we'll do crystals. Well, we pretty much now do crystals with everything, or shungite, which is a meteorite, which is a very good frequency protector. But we will put different crystals or little shiny objects and energies, a little gift for whatever the energy calls for, sage, rosemary, just different things that just make a difference to let the energies know that we're really here to help, bless, and make a difference. And most of the time, it really does work. And it's about just trying to heal whatever is hurting.
You know, you had mentioned guardians, guides, angels. Do you think everybody has their own guardians, angels, and guides around them?
I really do. I believe we came in with them. It's just a matter of how much we had to reconnect with them. And there's no one perfect way. They're with us all the time, but the best way is just to ask. Just to ask. And they may not have a name. They may be so old, they don't have a name. And that's okay, too. You just know that they are there and they are protecting us and they've been with us all along. And if we really start looking and kind of reflecting on our childhood, little by little, we can kind of piece things together and know that we've had help all along and that we were meant to be here at this point, at this time, to find one another, to help make a difference. The way I look at it is that we're all walking each other home. So it's that true unconditional love. There's no higher power. And when you feel it, you know it.
When you said to ask, now, how do we ask in our minds? Do we ask out loud?
So in some of the classes I teach, for some people, it's easier for them to like light a candle, any color that feels good to you, and just sit in a quiet room, kind of meditate a little bit, and just ask. Just outright say, and if you can't say that loud, say it from your mind. And just say, I really want to know more about you. Because it's really an extension of ourself, that they're with us to guide and help us while we're here on Earth. They came with us and they go with us as well. Sometimes I truly believe that even ancestors, loved ones we've had who crossed over before us, can choose. They continue on, but they can choose to leave with us everything that we knew of them and loved of them, such as my grandma Verna. She's with me, but she's continued on. The soul, again, is omnipresent and can do so much more than I even know. But what I knew of her and loved of her and what she helped me of for so much growing up, that is still with me. And she was there to help me with crossing Sarah over and gave me that image of the kitty cat and the name Pumpkin. So, but I also have other angels that have been with me long before Grandma ever was. So there are many. It's not just one. I don't know how many, but I honestly, as far as I know, from what I've talked with other elders and other people, it seems that at least we have 3, if not up to 12, that are at any time with us. Sometimes for something very serious and they're there with us and then they step back. It just depends. But we're not alone. And somehow we know this too.
More with psychic Kelly Kelleher coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
We're talking with psychic healer Kelly Kelleher. Now, some of this stuff's starting to make a lot of sense. If you've looked into, like, the near-death experience, Bill, he's a near-death experiencer, and I've been researching it, too, you know, for guests and whatnot. A lot of them talk about some kind of guardian or guide that they meet, and then they're sent back, but they always feel that guide's still with them, and they were with them the whole time. And then you get people that have not had a near-death experience, but they've had such a strange life, and they'll say something like, I should be dead right now. And they're not, maybe because with the guidance and help from their guardian, their angel. Is that anywhere close to, am I anywhere
absolutely
close?
Absolutely right. That okay. is it, absolutely right. In fact, there's been two people that I know of that were in a very dangerous situation. And they found out later on, someone said they weren't going to go after them because of the two big guys that were on each side of them. You know, and it's like they didn't have anybody on each side, but somebody saw them. Someone with ill intent saw that and continued on.
Wow.
So that's it exactly. We may not know them, we may not see them, but somehow, somewhere, there would have been no other way we would have gotten through whatever we had gone through, if that makes sense.
Right. Bill, you got anything?
No, you're doing good. You know, I would have said the same things. I've been talking about near-death experience and the afterlife and the spirits and the guides, you know, for 30-plus years. And, you know, I think you're right on the right track.
I believe you are too, Bill. I've watched some of your videos and am just now reading the book. It's amazing. And I bless you and thank you because you truly make a difference as well.
Well, thank you. Well, there's a story. Real quick, I'm going to make this quick because I want to hear more from Kelly. But just to kind of accentuate this guardian angel kind of thing. When I'm in a crowded parking lot, I call on my parking angels. And one day I was out with my wife. This was before we were married. And she said, well, how does this parking angel thing work? And we were at Costco, and the parking lot was just packed. There wasn't an empty space anywhere. So we're driving round and round. And I said, okay, I'll call on the angels. And we pulled around one more time, right up to the front, the very closest parking space to the front door. And suddenly it was vacant. There were people driving past it, around it. Nobody seemed to see it except me. And I pulled right in and I said, that's how the parking angels work.
You yeah. saw it and you only have one yeah. eye.
Yeah. And they created that space just for me.
And it's awesome. Really true. It's yeah. something little, so sweet. But these are little tiny miracles yeah. that happen. All day long, all the time.
And all you have to do is ask.
Yes. Yes. And then be open for it. And when it happens, just say, well, thank you very much.
Yes.
And continue on. But don't forget that thank you, because that means a lot.
And it's polite.
Yes, it is. Very much.
You know, on your website, you say, we are meant to be here at this time on Earth. And according to many near-death experiencers who have met either their angel or Jesus or God, whatever you want to call them, that each one of us has a purpose, and each one of us, our purpose on this planet is vitally important to everything else. Does that kind of make sense?
That is absolutely true, Johnny. Absolutely true. That
I'm learning.
We have gifts that we are just beginning to realize now because it's safe now. In fact, now more than any other time in history, except maybe in the very beginning, where people were very connected with Earth and with the universes. Like, they talk about the dream time with the Aborigines and how they were so connected. And there's many, many stories and myths and beliefs and connections in that aspect. But right now, it is safe to believe whatever is best for you, whether you call it the Christ consciousness, whether you call it Buddha, whether you call it the goddess, the god, great creator, great spirit, whatever it is you wish to call it, it is safe right now to do that and to truly find what your calling is. Because from my understanding is, as long as it is purely of again, I use the word unconditional love, but it's because we are love beings ourselves. And right now, I mean, even right now with everything that's going on with the virus and politics and everything else, it is still about the love, and right now it's quiet. And they are saying that Mother Earth is able to, we're able to hear her vibrations and frequencies more now than we have ever heard that we know in our history. So that says a lot too, that there's usually there's a bigger purpose. So it's us trying to find our angels and trying to connect with our own understanding and our own divinity, whatever that is, and what is right for each one of us. There is no, in my understanding, there is no absolute one way, but it is of love. So when it's of love, then it doesn't matter what label you put on it. It is that you are here not to harm, but to help make a difference. It is the most safest time right now in history to be able to follow what really is calling you and to seek knowledge and not be killed for that knowledge, to be able to learn more and study more and become more and share more or not. Again, we have to remember it's always a choice. And when we're talking about people who are at the veil or I say veils, because I don't know it all. I know one grain of sand worth, you know, universes of sand. So this is just my take on it. But there are so many who go to the veil and they realize at that point they're very tired, but it's not time to go home yet. Because somehow we made, if not a promise, we made an agreement that we would come here at this time. Because it was so special. It was so sacred. And it's a time that we can all connect. And that's the key. We are connecting. And the more that we heal, the more that we become, whether it's personally or when we're going out to heal or comfort friends, comfort loved ones, comfort. Have you ever had like a stranger just come up to you and tell you their whole life story and they walk in feeling amazing? Well, congratulations, you're an empath. And most of us are empaths. It means that they can kind of see our life and they trust our energy. So they give this information so that they can heal. We just have to learn to release that energy, not carry that, because that's not our energy. That's not our cross. That's not ours to bear. We were just there to be the conduit for that moment so that they could continue on and become better.
You know, there was a time that you'd be labeled a charlatan, a witch, and burned at the stake. But now...
A witch used to be someone who was a healer and a teacher, one who made tinctures and tonics, someone who was a midwife, but that changed under King James. He had suffered not a poisoner unto thee, he changed to suffer not a witch unto thee, and which were men and women who were healers, not anything of what is shown today, on TV, had nothing to do with Satan. It had nothing to do with killing or destroying. It was all about birth and planting and understanding the plants. It was a whole different scenario. People can study.
I just got a change in your audio. All of a sudden, it's like tinny, almost like we were on speaker and now we're off or something. It just kind of suddenly just went weird. Can you hear us okay, the same?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, it sounds almost like you're in a box, a tinny box. Bill, is your sound the same for Kelly?
Yeah, her sounds really tinny, and I can barely hear it.
Maybe that was a lot to share about. I appreciated King James because I could read the Bible better, but I didn't understand that he had tried to poison his brother. So he had to change that to something. Why he used the word witch, I'll never understand it. But so, yeah, this 50, 60 years ago, and in some cases in the Middle East, 10 years ago, even now, if they use the word witch, I could be killed. But really, again, we're walking in unconditional love. And when you're doing that, that's the key. It doesn't matter what the label is. It's a matter of what we really wish to understand. And instead of just trusting what you see on TV, go and read the books. Go and study for yourself. Don't take my word or anyone else's. I've always trusted that the minute someone tells you absolutely there's only one way, run, don't walk. Because we are all sacred. We are all sparks of divinity. We are all parts of the great creator, of God, of the goddess, of all that is love. We are all a part of that. My son once told me when he was little, Mom, we're kind of like a kaleidoscope. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He said, well, in heaven, we're all this beautiful, all these wonderful colors and designs and capabilities. And then we come to Earth and the kaleidoscope shatters. But each one of us are a piece
than that. So while we're here on Earth, we pick up the piece that belongs to us, and we share it with one another until it's time to go back home and replace it.
You have a second book. Now, well, first, tell us about your first book.
So the first book's called Haunted Healings. It's on Amazon, and I believe it's free now on Amazon. If it's not, it's about $3. That's it. And I hope to get those in book form very soon. And then there's another book that I almost finished. It'll be done within about a week. And that one's called In Between. And a year ago, I almost crossed over. I had some kind of very bad infection. They didn't know what, and they ended up opening my abdomen almost 14 inches and digging out flesh that had died, and they still don't know what that was. And I had both here at home had been at the crossroads, and I was told it's not my time, and I understood that and came back. And then in the hospital when they did the anesthesia, I had a terrible time waking up, and I had a very horrific experience, but then later realized that experience was actually magnificent because these energies were trying to push my body back in, my soul back into my body, because it really wasn't my time. And so the book is all about that. It is all about my experiences. It completely changed my life. And I'm sure Bill can talk about that, how you really look at the world differently. And this was not my first experience at the Veil, but this was the biggest. And seeing family and seeing great ancestors and seeing that we were all connected and seeing a much bigger picture than I'd ever seen before, I came back with a great reverence and respect and honor and just grateful to be here for now and grateful to share whatever I can and make a difference. And that if I can give a glimpse of that to anyone so that they understand that they are worthy and they are not what they were, if they were taught in any kind of a fundamentalist type of belief that they are bad and they are evil, I will again tell them, go look at a newborn baby's eyes. That is pure divinity. There is nothing evil. There is nothing bad about that. We are all innocent. We are all sacred. We are all divine. We are all worthy. And this last year experience, if anything else, reinforced that above and beyond and gave me new energy and insight so that hopefully in the very near future, I can truly help others to see how beautiful we each and every one of us are and what a difference we truly make. There's that old expression, you can plant seeds along the way, and though you might not sit under all the trees you planted, you do get to sit under some of them. And it's time now for us to begin to really be more awakened, be more patient, be more kind, be more open so that we truly can see how sacred and how divine all of us are. And that, again, we are all worthy.
Well, I think that you're right on target with that. And, you know, the sense of being at one with the universe as when we pass over, it's such an incredible feeling. I sense that you have a hard time finding the words, and I do too.
Yeah.
Because there aren't words in the English language that can adequately describe what we feel when we go to the other side. So trying to communicate that with people is sometimes difficult. And I'm sure as an author, you know, you've experienced that where you try to approach it from a couple of different angles, trying to get your point across. And this is what we have to do until we have a greater sense of enlightenment so that we all know more or less what we're talking about.
That's it, exactly. It's very difficult, but it's very, we cannot stop trying to share it.
Exactly, yeah. Instead of writing a second book, I just rewrote my first book and expanded it by 70 pages to incorporate some additional experiences I had. And I think that for those of us that have had these experiences, we continue to have them. And just like you were saying, you know, the last one was far more expansive than, say, the first one. My first one back in 1969 was relatively quick, simple. There wasn't a lot of real detail or a lot of time spent on the other side. It was basically just a sharing of knowledge, letting me know that there was something special going on, that there was life after death. And I was able to take it from there. But about 5 or 6 years ago, I had another experience. I've had several in the last 50 years, but the last one I had was incredible. I was in a coma for a week, and I was just out there in the universe, meeting people, talking to people, seeing the entire universe, taking in all the energy from all the living beings in the universe. And this, just like what you're saying, is that sometimes later in our life, those of us that have had these experiences get a chance to have an even greater experience, a greater understanding of what happens when we die, what happens when we go into the universe, when we become a part of that energy. And it's spectacular. It is just spectacular. But my personal belief that, I'm not sure if you share this or not, is that spirits, like human beings, age, and they experience different periods of life where they have more or less knowledge. So say the spirit that inhabits a tree may not be as experienced as the spirit that inhabits a person. And yet they're kind of all the same. I mean, they're connected by the energy of the universe, but each individual spirit has some uniqueness. And it's that uniqueness that makes us special. And I think it makes us grow and learn.
I completely agree with you that the spirits are also learning. And that's why sometimes some spirits will come up and help us in a very dire situation and then step back. And then they're still learning as well. Or like when I said, Grandma Verna, she's continued on, but yet everything I knew and loved of her is still with me because that energy never dies. It just continues on in another form.
Right.
And I think we are also that same thing. We are part of divinity. Experience, that's really true, that we are experiencing the world in a physical form, but when the shell goes, we do not die. So, and this is also why people who have lost a loved one can feel that loved one with them, and many times they try to let them know they're here, you know, leave little feathers or shiny coins or something special that only they would know, or a scent of them. You know, many people talk about cigar smoke or perfume or certain things that they just know that was that person. And that's just because they can manipulate and use energies. So it's to let us know that they are here, but they're still growing as well. I agree with that. I really do. And with the tree, like if you get a dryad, which is like the real old protectors of the tree, the great divine, like you would see in the redwoods or the big mighty oak tree.
Yes.
Those have great power, as opposed to a young tree that is still beautiful and sacred, but it's a younger spirit. Nonetheless, if we go hug it or sit by it, we're going to feel really good. We're going to feel very connected. But that's the combination of the mind, body, soul all together in one. But when we cross over and we are back to spirit, it is such a magnificent, you're right, there are really no words. The best way I can describe would be everything turns the most crystal sacred beyond colors, the all colors and beyond. And then the knowing that no matter what, there is so much love that there is nothing to fear. And if there's anything that I can leave with anyone is that don't be afraid of death, because death is as if it is a birth. We are here just to experience temporarily, but what we love here and cherish here is all there. Everyone we love here is going to be there, if not part of them already is. So you're not really losing anything. We are coming back to the wholeness of our being as opposed to a part of us. If that makes sense.
I think you hit it right on the head. And there's in the universe, after we pass, after we go to the next life, you said there's no fear. And I agree with that. There's it's all love. And there's no opposite. Here on Earth, there's always an opposite. But there is no opposite, or at least not that I know of or I've experienced. And that it's all love. There's no fear, worry, concern. There's no bills to pay. There's no one to be responsible to. It's just the most incredible experience because we don't get that kind of love, that unconditional love here on Earth.
Well, since you guys are all in agreement, I'll be the devil's advocate. That's all New Age hooey, and I'm all science, and if you can't measure it with a tape measure, it ain't real.
No, I like that, too, and there is a need for that aspect as well, because there's, again, it's choice, right? So there's some people that would use this energy and go, I'm going to make a profit. But that's, it'll never work. It'll never work, because when you're really talking about this pure unconditional love, it's not here for profit. It's only here for each individual to aspire and to attain for their own self, for their what's best for them. So great are those who are of science as well. And who's to say? I honestly believe if we all come together, there'll be a greater understanding. And at that time, we'll be able to fully transcend and travel beyond the universes, and with maybe other enlightened beings. I'll just put that out there, the woo-hoo stuff, with other enlightened beings that have been around with us all along, who might not just be guardians and guides. So we'll just put it at that, because we can't be the only existence of divinity in the universes. Let's put it that way.
Kelly, how do we get a hold of you? How do we hire you, your services? How do we find your books?
So, again, Haunted Healings is on Amazon. And then I have the Haunted Healings group and page, which is on Facebook. And if you just go to Haunted Healings, you'll see my picture there. And you'll actually see, I put the Bill and Johnny Talk About Some Ghost Experiences video on there. You'll see that on there.
Oh, nice.
Oh, good.
That was amazing. So if you see that, you know you're on the right page. And then I also have a just my own site on Facebook, Kelly Kelleher. And that's at facebook.com/KellyKelleher980. And there's also CelticWindDancer@gmail.com and HauntedHealings1@gmail.com.
Thanks for spending time with us today. We are already out of time.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Kelly. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you both. I really appreciate it. And Johnny, you truly make a difference. This is your gift to mankind to share all that's going on. So we honor and thank you as well.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm humbled. I couldn't do it without Bill, though.
Bill, you're amazing.
Well,
thank you both.
And you'll be a guest again? You'll come back and talk with us more?
I would love to.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you'd like to listen to back episodes, if you want to yell at Bill for his New Age TUI, just log on to strangeharbor.net.
And stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Strange.